拜登将等待适当时机与习近平通话。美政府报告显示，中国大量收集国际医疗健康数据。哈里斯表示，将努力确保被中国拘押的加拿大人获得自由。
2月3号星期三，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。白宫表示，拜登总统将与盟友和国会两党接触之后，等待适当的时机再与中国国家主席习近平通话。另外，拜登总统星期二与民主党参议员会面，商讨新冠疫情纾困法案。拜登在星期一已经会见了10位共和党参议员。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是，我们知道呢，拜登总统在1月20号上任之后，已经跟许多国家的国家领导人们通过了电话。那么就在美国时间的2月2号星期二的下午，白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇就被问到说，何时才会跟中国国家主席习近平通电话？对此呢，沙奇表示，美国对于中国的接触将会是战略性的。我们来看一下沙奇今天在白宫是怎么说的。
Our approach to China.And our approach to our relationship in China, with China, is strategic, obviously. And we are working to ensure that we are approaching that relationship from a position of strength. And that includes engagement with our allies and partners. A lot of those calls have happened over the last 10 days. Maybe that was a little Freudian there, the 10 weeks. 10 days, they will continue.And also engagements with Democrats and Republicans in Congress about the path forward. I don't have any call to predict for you at this point in time. Obviously, with Secretary of State Tony Blinken now confirmed, there are additional layers to engage with the Chinese, but we'll let you know when a call is happening and certainly have a readout for all of you as well.
那被问到呢，美国是否要等到跟所有的盟友都取得共识之后才来跟习近平通话，以及中国方面是否有主动要求说习近平跟拜登要通电话，对此呢，白宫发言人沙奇也做出了回应，我们来看一下。
What I was conveying is what our strategy is here from the United States, which is to work with our partners and allies and determine what the right time is. Of course, the relationship with China is going to be multi-layered. We'll deal with climate. We'll deal with the economy. We'll deal with security. And that is, of course, a priority to President Biden. He's spoken about it during the transition. He's spoken about it. Obviously, he's had engagements with his national security team about a range of issues, including China. We've been here less than 2 weeks. And when we have a call to read out,I'll make sure you know.
那么针对美国现在的新冠病毒疫情呢，拜登总统则是提出了他的美国救援计划，总值是$1.9万亿。那么他希望呢能够在国会当中获得跨党派的通过。那这个拜登总统星期二下午呢是邀请人跟这个民主党的议员们呢进行了这个午餐的视讯会议来商讨纾困案。那么这个拜登总统在星期一的傍晚呢已经跟10位的这个共和党参议员来进行在白宫当中进行会晤，来商讨这次的纾困的方案，因为共和党议员们也提出自己的方案。那么在这个星期这个二的这个民主党议员的会晤当中呢，拜登总统告诉这个民主党的参议员们说呢，他在这个星期一的时候有告诉过共和党议员，认为说呢他们提出的方案是规模太小。那么星期一傍晚呢，缅因州的共和党参议员苏森柯林斯在与拜登总统开完会之后，在白宫的外面接受记者采访的时候呢，表示说这次的会晤进行得非常的良好。我们看一下这个柯林斯参议员是怎么说的。
We have just had a very productive, cordial two-hour meeting with the president and the vice president and some of their key aides to discuss the next steps on the COVID relief package.We outlined for the president the provisions that we have proposed as part of an approximately $600 billion package. He explained in more depth areas that were not fleshed out as much in the package, the $1.9 trillion package.And it was a very good exchange of views. I wouldn't say that we came together on a package tonight. No one expected that in a two-hour meeting. But what we did agree to do is to follow up and talk further at the staff level and amongst ourselves and with the president and vice president on how we can continue to work together on this very important issue.
而另外我也参加了与拜登总统会晤的这个共和党参议员代表犹他州的罗姆尼参议员呢，也这个针对这次的会面呢做出了回应。我们看一下怎么说。
We talked about differences, and I don't think he would intend to signal any changes on his part, nor would we. And so this was the first step in a dialogue. And the fact that the president has encouraged his staff to work with us and to work together and see if we can find some understanding of a mutual nature suggests that there may be opportunity for that.
那么星期二下午呢，在与拜登总统进行完视讯的午餐会议之后呢，参议院多数党领袖舒默参议员啊，则表示说呢，这次的会面是非常的顺利，并且在推特上呢，只是宣布国会的参众两院将会一起推出新冠的纾困案。那参议员呢，他的推文说，我国的需求巨大，此时正是要以胆识、勇气和急迫性来面对挑战。这就是为什么佩洛西议长跟我共同提出 1.9万亿美元的决议案，让国会能够快速并且果断地通过新冠疫情纾困法案。而白宫发言人沙奇呢，在新闻简报会上则说，拜登总统希望透过跨党派的方式来应对新冠疫情，但是呢，他也不会在应对这个急迫的危机上面放慢速度，而且呢，也不会接受一个无法解决当前问题的方案。卡拉，
好的，感谢姚毅发自白宫的报道。 美国国家反情报收集与安全中心日前发表报告说，中国多年来以合法和非法手段从美国及世界各国收集大量医疗健康方面的数据。报告指出，中国收购了一些处理个人敏感健康资料和其他个人数据的美国公司，以这样的方式进入美国市场并获得相关数据。中国公司还通过与美国的医院、大学和其他研究机构合作的方式获取民众的卫生健康数据。 报告说，掌握美国人的个人健康资料，有助于中国提升人工智能和研发精准医疗的能力，帮助中国的生物科技公司不断研发新药物，以取代美国生物技术公司在全球的领导地位。 美国副总统哈里斯星期一与加拿大总理特鲁多通话，称美国将继续尽一切努力确保被中国拘押的两名加拿大人获得自由。白宫在一份声明中说，在两名加拿大公民被中国不法拘押的问题上，副总统表达了与加拿大团结一致的坚定立场。他还表明，美国会。 美国会继续尽一切努力确保他们获得释放。加拿大总理办公室也发表新闻稿，称特鲁多感谢哈里斯支持争取两位加拿大公民获得自由的努力。加拿大公民康明凯和斯帕福 ，2018 年在中国被当局拘捕，这被广泛视为北京对加拿大逮捕华为高管孟晚舟采取的报复措施。北京拒绝这一指责，并指控他们从事危害中国国家安全的间谍活动。 缅甸军方在2月1日拘押了国务资政昂山素季和其他执政党高级官员，并宣布缅甸国防军总司令米昂莱将在接下来一年的时间内接管国家。对此，美国国务院星期二表示，通过认真查核，美国正式认定缅甸军方此举为军事政变，这将触发美国审查对缅甸政府的援助。来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
新任美国国务院发言人内德·普莱斯星期二举办上任之后第一场例行记者会。缅甸政变是记者会中被关注的焦点。美国国务院谴责参与政变的缅甸军方，并且呼吁立刻无条件释放被拘留的民选政治领导人。
After a review of all the facts, we have assessed that the Burmese military's actions on February 1st having deposed the duly elected head of government, constituted a military coup d'etat. The United States will continue to work closely with our partners throughout the region and the world to support respect for democracy and the rule of law in Burma, as well as to promote accountability for those responsible for overturning Burma's democratic transition.
根据美国法律，认定缅甸军方参与政变将自动限制美国对缅甸政府的援助。不过，美国官员表示将继续推广民主项目，并且向包括罗兴亚少数民族在内有需要的人民提供人道主义援助。
When it comes to Burma, look, I don't think the military takeover, the military coup, is in the interest. It's certainly not in our interest. It's certainly not in the interest of our like-minded partners. I think you will also find that it's not in the interest of the Chinese. So our first concern, of course, is the restoration of civilian leadership in Burma.
美国国务院官员对于缅甸的影响力，一些分析指出，中国政府并没有谴责缅甸军方发动政变，而语气也显得比任何国家都要温和。中国表示自己是缅甸的友好邻邦，这是因为不希望看到边境出现一个亲美国的民主政府。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
分析人士说，缅甸的这场政变给刚刚上任的拜登总统出了一道外交政策的测试题，也可能会对美中两国在东南亚地区的政治角力构成影响。来看报道。
星期一的军事政变使缅甸过去十年的民主化进程出现了严重逆转。这起事件也让上任刚刚十天的拜登总统面临任期内的首次重大外交挑战。拜登星期一发表声明，称军事政变是对缅甸民主进程的直接攻击。白宫官员说，美国将在必要的情况下考虑恢复对缅甸的制裁。
We removed sanctions. The United States, I should say, removed sanctions on Burma over the past decade based on progress toward democracy. The reversal of that progress will necessitate an immediate review of our sanctions laws and authorities, followed by appropriate action.
缅甸在2010年结束军政府统治，启动民主化进程。这个事件被认为是奥巴马总统任内的主要外交成就之一。但是近年来，国际社会对于缅甸政治进程出现的倒退日益关注。
We're not talking about a country that had gone from military dictatorship to perfect democracy overnight or even in the course of a couple of years. It was always a work in progress and it was always a very shaky work in progress. But it was a work in progress that was being supported and being encouraged.By the U.S. and by Europe, and by a lot of other democracies.
在美国和其他西方国家对缅甸军事政变发表谴责的同时，中国政府表示注意到缅甸的局势，并正在进一步了解情况。分析人士说，缅甸政变可能会增加中国政府在该国施加影响力的筹码，并影响拜登政府的亚洲战略。
One of the main issues that the U.S. and the Biden administration have to contend with is how this and how their reaction to what has happened will affect the government's, the military's relationship with China, because it is very clear over the course of not just the last 4 years, not just the Trump administration, but over the course of the last 10, 15 years.That the U.S. has been in a competition with China for influence and power in Southeast Asia.
拜登总统星期一说，美国将密切注视亚洲各国在缅甸遭遇困境期间是否与缅甸人民站在一起。美国之音电视新闻。
美国参议院今天投票通过了皮特·布蒂吉格的运输部长提名，他也成为美国历史上首位公开同性恋身份的内阁成员。布蒂吉格将负责重建美国的交通基础设施并应对气候变化。39岁的布蒂吉格此前担任印第安纳州南本德市长，并参与了民主党的总统大选初选角逐。上周他在参议院的提名听证得到了两党的赞誉。他在听证会上表示，将致力于提升交通系统的安全性，重塑民众对飞机、大巴、城市地铁等公共交通系统的信任。 布蒂基格还负责监管更严格的汽车燃料经济标准，以及减少温室气体的排放，应对气候变化。周二，参议院还通过了国土安全部长亚历杭德罗·马约卡斯的提名，他成为首位领导该部门的拉丁裔移民。出生在古巴的马约卡斯在提名听证会上表示，拜登政府将改革特朗普时期对无证移民实施的强硬措施。美国政府本周宣布与一家澳大利亚生物技术公司达成协议，生产家用新冠测试产品。另一方面，美国多地的疫苗接种已经进入第二阶段，总体进展顺利，但也存在着一些反对疫苗的声音。来看报道。
美国国防部与美国卫生及公共安全部二月一日宣布，与澳大利亚生物技术公司 Alum 达成价值2.3亿美元的协议，为美国生产准确率达到95%左右的家用新冠检测产品。
I'm excited to announce that today, the Department of Defense and HHS has awarded $230 million to Alum in order to scale the manufacturing base and capacity of this easy-to-use test.Thanks to this contract, they'll be able to scale their production to manufacture more than 19 million test kits per month by the end of this year.
在同一场新闻发布会上，美国国家过敏和传染病研究所主任福契医生呼吁更多人接种疫苗。
The answer is you need to get vaccinated when it becomes available as quickly and as expeditiously as possible throughout the country. And the reason for that.Is that there is a fact that permeates virology, and that is that viruses cannot mutate if they don't replicate.
第二阶段的新冠疫苗大规模接种在全美多地展开。在波士顿，人们将当地知名的芬威球场临时改造成大规模的接种点。接种对象不但包括第一线的医护工作者，也面向75岁以上的老年群体。
I was anxious this morning about driving here and everything, but it went much more smoothly than I anticipated. The line was very long, but it moved right along.So my appointment was at 10:24. I think I received my shot at 10:41.
但是疫苗的投放过程也并非一帆风顺。在洛杉矶，有十余名抗议者阻塞了当地临时接种点到其体育场的入口，体育场不得不临时关闭，这使得数百名驾车排队等待的居民接种受到延误。洛杉矶县公共卫生主任芭芭拉·费雷对这种行为提出了批评。
You know, it's fine for people to express their views peacefully, but it is not okay to impede the ability of people to get any kind of medical services. So, you know, I want to just reassure the public that's coming to our vaccination sites, it will be safe.
美国之音新闻报道。
拜登总统下令暂停修建美墨边境墙，这是前总统特朗普政治遗产的重要组成部分。有环保主义者抱怨，这一工程造成了一系列的环境问题。来看报道。
通常圣贝纳迪诺国家野生动物保护区仅有的声音就是那里沙漠的风声以及河流池塘的潺潺水声。但是近几个月来，政府承包商日夜不停地在这样偏远的联邦拥有的土地上迅速建立隔离墙。尽管现在拜登总统承诺暂停修建围墙，但像迈尔斯、特拉伯根这样的科学家担心，对本地物种的破坏已经形成了。这处保护区深藏于广袤的沙漠中央，那里几乎没有人类踪迹。
This is a migratory corridor for wildlife, and it has been for thousands of years. And a lot of animals follow drainages like this. You know, it's an obvious thing to do in the desert.
周围的山脉和山谷被称为天空群岛，是至关重要的土地。这里常有美洲狮、野猪、山猫、北美虎和其他物种出没迁徙，越过边境。自1996年以来，生物学家特拉伯根一直在这里工作，利用传感摄像镜头跟踪动物的迁徙。他说，开始修建隔离墙之后，这些动物几乎全部消失了。
But since the border wall has been built,You have a 30-foot steel wall with gaps of only 4 inches wide between the steel bollards, and that's what they call the beams, is a bollard. So basically nothing larger than a cottontail rabbit could pass through the wall now. It's a huge impedance to all wildlife movement.
特朗普政府在南部边界沿线修建了450英里，也就是720多公里的隔离墙，其中大部分在联邦土地上，以免跟私人土地所有者产生法律纠纷。根据2005年的一项法律，官员们废除了诸如濒危物种法之类的法规，他们得以在圣贝纳迪诺等受保护的土地上修建隔离墙。特朗普在任内的最后几天参观了德克萨斯州麦卡伦附近的隔离墙。
Today we celebrate an extraordinary milestone, the completion of the promised 450 miles of border wall. 450 miles. Nobody realizes how big that is.
环保主义者针对联邦土地状况表示，建筑对一些脆弱物种产生了巨大的影响。建筑商还抽光了当地的地下水用于混凝土，导致4种濒危或濒临灭绝的鱼类自然栖息地的干涸。野生动物活动家兼摄影师约翰·库尔克在距离瓜达卢佩峡谷10英里处说，修建隔离墙的工作人员已经用炸药炸开了山体，摧毁了美国最后一些野生美洲虎的重要栖息地。尽管拜登总统下令立即暂停建设，但一些环保主义者希望他进一步采取措施拆除现有的墙壁。
That gives some hope to, you know, to the animals thatare in places where there is no barrier right now. Now, areas such as San Bernardino, this area, Coronado National Forest, Coronado National Monument, those are areas that ultimately we need to have those sections of wall taken down.
拜登政府表示，预计今后2个月将制定出一项计划来解决与边界建墙有关的问题。美国之音珍娜·茨基，亚利桑那州圣贝纳迪诺国家野生动物保护区报道。
白宫饲养宠物的传统在特朗普总统执政期间出现了中断，但是随着拜登出任总统，宠物又重回白宫了。来看美国之音记者伊莲娜·沃尔夫的报道。
镜头后方的是总统乔·拜登，他在2年前来到一个动物收容所，那时候他是一名前副总统和一个可能成为宠物主人的人。他挑选了一只叫做少校的德国牧羊犬的小狗。和唐纳德·特朗普总统在白宫的时期有所不同，当时是禁止狗狗入内。
How would I look walking a dog on the White House lawn? Would that be...
在特朗普之前，第一家庭饲养宠物已有一个半世纪之久，但在这么多年之后，少校可不一样。他是白宫第一只从动物收容所领养来的宠物。这个收容所是德拉瓦人道协会，简称 DHA。
Major came to us, when a person in the community reached out to DHA, and they had six, puppies, six German Shepherd puppies, and they were not doing well. They were sick, so they were concerned about them, and they came to us. We knew right away that they were lethargic and not well, so we knew that they needed some intensive medical care.
当幼犬康复后，收容所在社交媒体上发布了他们的视频，正好引起拜登女儿的注意。碰巧的是， 拜登正在为他另一只狗冠军 Champ 找伴。现在少校和冠军共享了 Instagram 的网页 46dogs。
Major Biden, if you're watching, it's a real honor, sir.
为了庆祝，德拉瓦人道协会组织了一个 Zoom 应用的派对，把它称作另类就职。
Welcome everyone to the first ever inauguration celebration.
Vixen, how do you feel about the first shelter dog making it to the White House? Blue, are you excited about Major's inauguration? Tinkerbell, there's a rumor going around that the Bidens are looking to adopt a cat. Will that be you?
哥伦比亚广播公司报道，拜登一家也将把一只猫带进白宫。
Biden has talked a lot about unity, about wanting to heal us and bring us together and to sort of repair the political divide. I think that's a tall order. But if he can bring cat people and dog people together, it's a start, right? That, I think, would definitely be easier than uniting current Republican Party and the current Democratic Party.
目前，冠军和少校在他们的新家越来越自在，让狗叫和甩尾重新在白宫出现。美国之音沃尔夫德拉瓦州报道。
由于新冠大流行，面对面的指导已经不再可能，全国数以百计的公司正在使用虚拟现实培训来帮助员工掌握一些新的技能。来看美国之音记者莫斯卡科夫的报道。
由于大流行病，人力资源专家面临在远程工作期间应如何培训新进员工的独特挑战。有些公司开始采用像缪里森的虚拟现实模拟器。
Immersion is a virtual reality simulator that allows people to practice and perfect the really challenging conversations that they have at work. The conversations that go on between a doctor and a patient, or a doctor and the family of a patient, for example.
虚拟现实可让人体验现实生活中难以重现的非正规情况，然后让他们从自己的行为中学习。像这样的方法对于培训教师特别有效。
To master those techniques on, if you will, digital avatars, fake kids,If you think of it that way, kids who behave like the real kids in the real world, but allow them to make mistakes and do no harm, right? If they make a terrible mistake in a practice lesson immersion, nothing happens.
科罗拉多州的奥罗拉公立学区是第一批采用虚拟技术的学校之一。学区首席学术官阿德烈赖特说，这些学校在教师培训方面采用一种独特的方式。
We need practice for threat assessments and having difficult situations with parents and having to share news from our threat assessment team as well as our counselors and social workers. Let's embed that into their practice and see how well it helps prepare them for some of those.
活在他们的世界是一家纽约公司。这家公司利用虚拟现实为各种公司的员工提供道德规范和培训课程。活在他们的世界公司创办人罗宾·罗森伯格说，虚拟现实可以把人们凝聚在一起，这在大流行病期间尤其重要。
There are VR companies out there that can bring people together so everyone feels like they're in the same conference room, so that they're in, you know, a roomlooking at objects together, manipulating objects for collaboration, and it can be incredibly powerful for people, particularly if they live alone.
这个技术的一大缺点是，虚拟现实话筒耳机和其他技术并不像家用计算机那么普遍，技术支援也可能更具挑战性。但支持者表示，对那些能够取得这个技术的人来说，在保持社交距离的时期，这是一个为现实生活进行培训的好方法。美国之音记者莫斯卡科夫，华盛顿报道。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。